Hi, this is Susan Nellicott, and welcome to the Studio Insider Art Podcast. In these episodes, I throw open the doors to my art studio practice and how I run my business as a professional artist. Whether it be candid insider chats with my studio assistants Laura and Steph, or interviews with other creatives, or answering listener questions, there is something here for every emerging artist. I hope my journey can help you feel a bit more at home in your own. Hi, and welcome to episode 93 of the Studio Insider Art Podcast. Have you been experiencing a downturn in art sales over the past few months? It's something that Steph and I have both been experiencing, so we're wondering if other artists out there, particularly in Australia, are experiencing this too. In many ways, this isn't surprising to us, given that we've only just come out of 2 years of lockdown where we live. Our capital, Melbourne, has been the most lockdown city in the world, and we can see how this has really affected mental health on a mass level in our state, and consequently people's desire and financial ability to buy art. As often happens to creatives, when our work stops selling, we can tend to take this a bit personally and start telling ourselves all kinds of stories, true and imagined, about why this may be the case. And for each of us, that has been a bit of a journey over the past few months. Join us as we dive deep on how we're managing these times when we find ourselves valuing our worth on how much we are or are not selling. Hi, Steph.
Hi, Sue.
Oh, my goodness. It feels like forever since I've sat down and talked to your face.
It has been forever.
It has. It's been a couple of months at least, hasn't it?
Yeah. Easily.
We've been through such a roller coaster ride.
I know.
Roller coaster, what am I saying?
Roller coaster.
Actually, the pure expression in sound of what I've been feeling. The general wobbliness of life and lockdowns and coming out of lockdowns and the crazy.
Yeah, I feel like it's such a uniquely Australian thing at the moment. Like, you know, the world is in so many different places, but we're still like living 2020.
Yes, at the end of 2021. Yes. So we finally have been let out of lockdown. We finally have enough vaccination rates to look like we're going to actually stay there.
Yeah.
And we can talk to each other in person.
And I think more importantly, have space in our lives to do this, not just be in like survival mode.
That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because we've made some shifts with the podcast that you've talked about in previous episodes.
Yeah.
But that came about because I had a meltdown.
Yeah, I know. It was such a hard time, wasn't it? Like I was, and you just had to stop with the editing, hey?
Yep. I've just felt like I just really needed to turn inward and care for myself or everything was just going to fall apart.
Yeah.
You know that feeling?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I really do know that feeling. And so when it happened and we kind of, I don't know, like a few weeks before I could see it sort of starting to transpire. And
yeah.
I remember saying to you, you know, do we need to think about taking a longer break from the podcast? You're like, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Wait and see.
And then you kind of went down a bit of a downward spiral for a couple of weeks.
I'm not coping. You messaged me and you were like, I'm not hearing back from you. That tells me things are not okay with you. And I was like, things are not okay.
I think your very words in the reply message were, I'm now going to return to the burning wreckage of my life. Which is a place I also know. And it's not always a reflection of reality when you feel that way, but I know that internal feeling of like the burning wreckage of your life. So
yeah, and I think, you know, this is the first time I've really worked with someone who gets it. You know, when we work for organizations or people who are like full on neurotypicals, they don't really like, they encourage you to sort of push through. And I think like, it was only, you know, sharing how I was feeling with our common friend Laura, and she was like, you just got to tell Suze that you're not coping, because she gets it. And the core of the relationship has always been, when one of us is not doing okay, the other one understands and gives space when space is needed, or support when support is needed.
Yeah.
And I think that's what has allowed us to come through this and still be able to meet and have these conversations.
Absolutely.
Because you gave me the grace to like just focus on surviving as a human.
absolutely. But isn't that like,
Isn't that just the most beautiful part of our friendship though, like that we get that about each other? And we've had such an amazing unfolding over the past year of realizing that, well, coming into that active realization that neither of us are neurotypical. Like, it's one thing to call yourself quirky or to see the differences you have with other people, but both of us have actually been through a pretty big, enormous process of acknowledging we're very different to how other people function. And at times the way that we're different can be very disabling. Yeah. And that's something that I don't think a lot of neurotypical people do understand, that when we go down, we can really go down. So I'm glad that I was able to do that for you, because you've done it for me numerous times too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but it felt nice to be able to like articulate what I was going through and not receive judgment. That was lovely. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Right back at you for all the times you've done it for me.
But what it's meant is we've come to a place where, you know, it was the computer type work that
I was and all
doing.
The editing, etc., because it's was taking an enormous amount of hours every week.
Yeah, and at that time, because we had home education and, you know, that was like the only hours I had in the week. And I think that, like, actually, you know, you've found somebody amazing to do that, and that's their core thing, that's their expertise and their skills. And now at this point, that's allowing me to just have this role. Yeah. Which, let's be honest, this is the fun bit.
Yeah, it is the fun bit. And it's the bit, it's also the bit that I also knew all along. Everything else can be replaced, but this cannot be replaced. And I think everyone out there listening would agree.
And it's like you said just before, you know, before we started recording, oh, I feel like we're therapy for each other.
Totally. And so maybe for a few people out there too, I think. It's like studio therapy.
So it's nice to see you and get back into another therapy session.
Oh, having all the warm fuzzies. Well, I feel exactly the same way. It's been quite the journey. And, you know, it's not like we hadn't talked about this shift either. I remember us talking way back in February, when we were doing a bit of work around sort of systematizing things with the podcast, and I'd said to you, you know, I know that this isn't the best use of your time, you editing. I don't want to take it away from you before you're ready, but let's just like hold space for that will happen at some stage, because, you know, as your art career's grown and all of the things you're doing, you've expanded so much in your own art practice professionally. Mm. We knew it was coming. It was just a matter of, like, you know, I think for people like you and I, the point at which we make that decision is never smooth.
No, we're not ready until we're really ready. And then it's quite an abrupt transitional moment. Like, it doesn't feel smooth internally or externally.
Yeah. So when the time came, it actually was not too hard to find another person. It was a wee bit stressful for a week there, but I found someone fabulous. We love you, Danny. You're listening to this podcast. I'm so happy to have you on board working with us. So it's just great. Very happy.
So good. Okay. I feel like now we've done that little debrief, we need to talk about what's been happening since we've seen each other. Like, yes. I know for you, you know, we've had our little catch-ups and stuff, but I feel like there's something going on in the world around our art practices that I think is a common thread that has us feeling a bit weird.
And we were just having a cup of tea in the kitchen before, and we started to encroach on this subject. I thought, I think this is the one that needs to be recorded today, which is around, you know, both of us are feeling very challenged at the moment. You know, sales are right down with our art businesses. You know, it's right down for me across the board with all of my products. We've both been having moments of just feeling super unmotivated and like, what's happened? You know, I was going really well. Yeah. And we just thought, we really need to have a conversation about this. You know, I've noticed there's been a lot of other artists out there been having, you know, quite decent sales on their art, like 30% off sales. And they're people that are saying, as I would say normally too, that they don't discount their original work.
Yeah.
So I'm getting the feeling that this is going on for a lot of artists in Australia. I'm not sure if this is happening in other parts of the world, so I'll be really interested to hear from other people in the world that if they've experienced a downturn in people picking up their products, because that's definitely been happening for both of us, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. And I want to talk about how that's made me feel, because we've gone from this period of a lockdown has ended, the kids are finally back at school, life has returned a little bit to normal, whatever that might be. But since I had that little meltdown, I spent the next few weeks really focusing on just doing what made me feel happy, what made me feel fulfilled, taking away any pressure of trying to earn money or hustle or put myself out there. Like, my socials have been quiet. I just let go of all those pressures on myself. And I feel flipping great.
Mm-hmm. That's right? So good. Let's just stop there. And can we just for a moment acknowledge what you just did and how good that is? Because that's what us creatives need to do for ourselves when we're feeling really bad and down, is hit the pause and mm-hmm. do things that make us feel good. And for you, I know it was the pottery wheel. Yeah, so good on you for taking the time. Wheel.
Thanks. I've done nothing but throw vases in porcelain for like 3 weeks. Okay, and then let's talk about the negative. Then I felt like, oh, I'm really happy, but I'm making no money. So what does that mean? Oh, that means I can either be happy and creatively fulfilled or make money.
I know, right? Oh, my God. I had exactly the same thing come up in a conversation with my husband yesterday. I had a really down day yesterday and I was feeling teary. Aww. I was just lying in bed with Mark and I'm like, no one's buying my stuff anymore. I'm feeling really sad. I feel like it's all over. Like, you know, the typical, you know,
the cycle.
It is the cycle. But also, like, as two people that have ADHD, we feel intensely the things, especially if we feel, you know, it's the RSD thing, right? That rejection sensitive dysphoria. We take like one small, seemingly insignificant event and blow it completely out of proportion. So I do that really, really well.
Yeah, but I think there's another piece to it where, as an artist, your work is a little piece of your soul.
Yeah, so that's true.
You feel like that's not connecting. It feels very personal.
It is. It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really does. It's not like putting another product out in the world. It is a little piece of us.
Yeah, you give so much to it that you feel like when nobody wants that, then nobody loves you.
Yeah, and that's exactly how I feel. But as Mark rightly reflected back to me, he's like, you can't go equating your self-worth with how much you're earning.
Well, of course.
Like, and I know this, it's like, hello, mm-hmm. but then I'm lying there going, actually, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I am equating my self-worth with how much of my output is being bought. And it's not like I haven't been selling anything, because I have been selling a few things, but it entirely depends on how I'm feeling as to how I read that situation.
Of course.
That's the other thing, right?
Yeah, it's all about perception.
Yeah.
In the moment, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been having a real struggle around that too. And as we always know, if we're feeling that, there's probably hundreds of other artists out there feeling that way at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. And I also talked to my Mark about it. And in true husband fashion, he just went straight to trying to fix the problem.
Yeah.
Well, do I need another job where I make more money? I'm like, darling, I don't need you to fix it. I just need you to reassure me that everything's going to be okay, that I am valid and worthy, that my value is not attached to the work that I sell, that it's okay for me to just be happy and not be hustling. It don't have to be all the things all the time. And I don't think anybody, I think it's probably not humanly possible to go through the traumas that we've all gone through in the last 18 months or 2 years and not feel bruised.
And let's talk about that a minute, because, you know, where Australia has been, particularly our state of Victoria, like, the thing that I've noticed in the last couple of months is just the brokenness of people. You know, we spent most of last year in lockdown and then a lot of this year in lockdown, and that is 2 years. And, you know, when it happened again and we went back into lockdown, I've just watched people fall apart. Like, I've just watched people really, really struggle. Like, you know, people whose businesses have been completely decimated, which hasn't happened for us. Like, you know, yes, we're damaged, but, you know, at least we weren't in hospitality or where restaurants were just closed, you know. And I think, you know, I think about the mindset of people when they're buying art, it's a kind of a celebration. And you've got to be in a particular kind of place to buy something like that for yourself. And I think people were kind of in that in 2020 because it felt like there was going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. But by the time of the end of the second year in lockdown, it was like no one could see the light at the end of the tunnel. The true reality of, you know, the damage that had been done to people financially was just like no one was even has even been in that space of really considering buying something like that.
Yeah, it's not been a year of it celebration.
It has not. It has been a year. And I really feel like right now, you know, yes, we're out of lockdown, but people are not healed from that.
No.
People are still recovering. And
it will take time.
It's been hard. So, you know, and that affects industries like ours. It really does.
Hey guys, are you loving what you're hearing on the podcast and craving a bit more from my studio? Then consider checking out my e-course trilogy, Painting as a Practice, playful classes in mixed media painting designed to nurture your authentic style. If you're a beginner painter or seeking some fresh new approaches in your art, then check out Chapter 1, Laying Solid Foundations. Or if you'd like to learn more about my ways with colour and mixed media art supplies, then Chapter 2 is a great option. And if you're seeking to really hone your creative style or learn how to create a series of larger works on canvas, then Chapter 3 is a brilliant option. Each chapter is just $77 each, or you can pick up the discounted bundle of all three courses for just $219. To learn more, be sure to head on over to the link in the show notes or susannethercuttstudio.com/online-classes. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, for me, my retailers are in Melbourne.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that.
And all of those shops have been closed for months and months and months, only being able to do online sales. You know, so I've, you know, like, we've talked before, I think, about how I use retail to get my work out into the world, to get fresh eyes on it. It not only generates sales, but it generates commissions and relationships. And so all of that has come to a standstill. And that has, it's not something that happens in immediacy. You know, it's not like somebody sees a piece of work that I've done today and then ask for a commission tomorrow. These things take time to percolate, and you know what it's like when you're making interior design decisions. You need to figure things out, whatever. So all of that, those leads, let's call them, in a business way, came to a standstill.
And you know, I bet in Melbourne, I mean, because we're in country Victoria, we have not been as heavily restricted as Melbourne people. I cannot imagine how it's been down there to be, have been, you know, the most lockdown city in the world. By the end of it, like I'm sure no one was going online and shopping retail because everyone's just been losing their minds wondering when the heck this was all going to be over. It's like this huge collective trauma. It is not a time to go shopping to decorate your home anymore. We did that in 2020.
That's right. We did, didn't we?
So, and this is the thing. And like for us as creatives, you know, we have to work pretty hard to figure out ways to market our work in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then we've all kind of pivoted in 2020.
It's exhausting.
And then to get to 2021 and to discover that the way that you pivoted in 2020 is no longer working and now you have to try and figure out another way is just a bit much.
Yeah,
really?
Most of us, it's just one person usually.
Yes.
It's one
and
person.
Plus we're homeschooling kids.
Things.
So, you know, I wasn't doing that as much as you. I had a bit more assistance with mine. But still, it's just the whole, you know, the kids weren't happy either. They were so over it too. So you're dealing with their mental health situation as well.
Yeah. So full on.
So it kind of feels like where we are now is a little bit like picking up the pieces in a way and trying to,
it does.
You know, I've kind of been getting, you know, getting all these emails from other artists about, you know, you're getting ready for the holidays and you're doing your prep. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like now I have to like just flip into that mode and, you know, and also haven't stopped trying to find ways to sell things and oftentimes not very successfully over the past few months. And it becomes really disheartening and hard.
Yes. Something that I've discovered is that I'm very motivated in my practice, by sales, not just, you know, the money, but when work is sold, I'm really inspired to create more. But because there are like 30 paintings sitting in my studio that nobody wants to buy, I'm really unmotivated to do more paintings. I'm like, well, I've got a body of work there. I don't need to create more. So that's, you know, been a not very motivating factor. But speaking of the Christmas period and the seasonal part of the year that is often very busy in retail and, you know, people are buying all the things as gifts. It's a very interesting year this year because, I mean, there's a lot of potential for buying things from real humans that live in your country, yeah?
Yeah.
Because we're all experiencing all over the world these supply chain shortages.
Yes.
So to summarize, because of COVID, all of the shipping containers have been unevenly distributed around the world in a weird way.
Is that what's happened? Because yes. I've heard about there being all these issues, but I haven't fully understood.
So it sounds like, from what I can understand, because China experienced COVID first and experienced some sort of recovery first, their ports opened and things were being shipped all over the world. For example, PPE, you know, masks, sanitizers, all these things were being distributed. But then those shipping channels that aren't necessarily sending things back.
Because everyone's in lockdown.
That's right.
Right.
So then all these shipping containers have ended up in weird places where they would not normally be. And it's ended up being very competitive to get the shipping routes to come to you, particularly in Australia, Southern Hemisphere. It's not very lucrative to come here. And it's ended in a bit of a bidding war within those companies. So things are costing 40 times as much, maybe 400 times as much to ship than they used to.
Crazy.
Which means here in Australia, we're already noticing a huge shortage of building materials because all of our timbers are imported.
Yeah, and that's really impacting people that are trying to build and renovate. A lot of the prices have gone up. And a lot of the prices have gone up hugely.
Hugely.
Yeah.
You know, hugely, like $50,000 more, you know, like big things. But it also means that I think coming up to Christmas, when everyone starts to buy these imported things as gifts, the shelves are going to start to empty. They're saying particularly things like white goods, you know, like your kitchen appliances that are always popular around this time of year. And even smaller retailers are not able to get products shipped to them that they might normally be buying. So it means, though, that there's an opportunity if you were looking at, you know, doing a retail thing, that people are going to need locally made products.
Yeah.
Because this is the problem when we outsource all of our production to third world countries or whatever. It's cheap, but then it's on the other side of the flipping world.
And we're learning about the difficulties of that. Yeah. I have another thing to say around that on a different tangent in the way that I feel my business has been impacted. And I don't know it for sure, but I suspect that this is what's happened. Throughout last year when COVID first hit, there were huge problems with postage and getting my artwork to people, and some of them were delayed for months. And one of the things that's happened to me this year, most of my work used to go to the US, and that was just how it was. Like probably 70% of my work went to America, and that has just completely dropped off now. And I suspect it's probably to do with some of the factors we've been talking about today, although I feel like the US has been in recovery for a bit longer than we have. But I have had messages from people that have indicated that their lack of confidence in postage and shipping at the moment. And I actually think it's had a big impact. I don't know for sure, but I suspect that's what's happening. But gosh, it's so good to talk through all of these different reasons as to why things are the way they are, because when you're in your private moment, you can tell yourself really bad stories about that, like just no one loves you anymore, that's kind of where you go to emotionally, isn't it?
Yeah, no one loves my work, therefore no one loves me, therefore
I'm worthless,
therefore I should just give up.
I laugh, but I wasn't laughing yesterday.
No,
and I'm talking to you now and I'm like, and so much clearer on like the snowballing of factors that have contributed to this. It's like a depression, or like not an emotional depression, an economic depression that I feel like lots of artists are experiencing right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Something else that this has triggered for me was not just like I'm not making sales, but it was I have a plan. I mean, it's a very vague plan, let's be honest. It's not like a
business plan.
But I have a plan. I know what I want.
Yes.
And I've, you know, figured out the steps I want to take to get there. But I just stalled on my plan. I was busy filling my cup, my creative cup, which is super important. So my well-being was great. But then I was like, I've just completely stopped working on my plan. I've stopped making those brave moves to get me to the next level, you know, to line up success for the future. And that felt triggering too.
Well, it does, but, you know, isn't this something that we come to again and again as neurodiverse humans? Do you think? Because I feel like we've had this conversation so many times. You know, we're smart women. We know how to get out there and make things happen in our lives. We've both done it multiple times in our own careers. We're self-motivated. We're creative. We think outside the box. We've both done extraordinary things. The thing that seems to occur time and again is, you know, when our emotions aren't playing toward the game and the plan that we have, and we have to pause and address that. And, you know, for me, I think one of the things that has been one of my greatest teachers over the last year and a half is to stop beating myself up for that.
Yeah.
Because it's going to keep happening. It's just part of who I am. And actually a lot of the redirections that come out of those times where I have to pause and come back and nourish myself and, you know, get deep into my spiritual practice again and nurture myself and find my equilibrium, I then discard things that were in my previous plan, in inverted commas, that you can't see because this is audio. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
I hear what you're saying. Like I totally relate to the pain that you feel around that, because, you know, you want to be like the other folks out there that can come up with the plan and stick to it. And, you know, it's kind of that capitalist, you know, vertical growth brainwashing that we're constantly fed, and we're actually getting fed it more and more, I think, through lots of different education programs for artists these days are very focused on that capitalist vertical growth mindset. And I don't know, like I'm not in it for just that. I keep coming back to that. Like, and every time I talk to you, I remember that because I'm sucked into it too.
Yeah.
That's where I was on the weekend. Really, that's where the source of the way that I'm feeling was. It came from that place of, well, if I'm not earning money, then do I actually have worth? And that's what the capitalist mindset wants us to believe, to keep us motivated and part of the machine, instead of stepping out of it and going, questioning it. And is that the only valuable thing in life? Because both you and I know that it's not. That was a bit of a rant.
No, I love that rant. I'm just quietly sitting here processing it. Yeah, look, yes, I agree with everything you said. I think in that moment I had another aspect at play though, and that was wanting to be an overachiever.
Oh, me too.
So when I actually
Me too, honey.
questioned, have you stopped doing the things? Have you stopped doing the work? The answer was no. You've still been doing it.
You've just been doing a different medium. You've been potting, which is what you're actually like formally most qualified to do. And I've seen what you've been making and it's beautiful.
Thank you. Because yes, I want to talk about that just for a moment, about the overachieving thing. I'm putting that pressure on myself that I have to keep doing the brave things. I have to keep following the plan. Mm-hmm. When I look at it rationally, it's like, well, you did that brave thing 2 days ago. What are you even talking about? You know, like, but the perception of myself was push harder, work harder, keep going, do more. Not an accurate reflection of what I was actually doing. But it's almost like I felt like I need to overcompensate. So my perception was that I wasn't doing all the things in the plan, being brave, reaching out, putting myself out there. But actually, that was just my perception. That was my overachiever in me being like, well, because you're fundamentally flawed as a human, being you are diverse, you have to work harder.
That was exactly what I was going to say, like, because I am the same. It's like our whole lives we've been trying to overcompensate for you know, we whether or not we knew we had ADHD, which we didn't for the, you know, for me it was 46 years before I knew I had ADHD. I feel like, it, you know, even though I didn't know that that was what was going on, I've always been trying to overcompensate. And that is the root of so many dysfunctions in my life. It's like, I've got to be better. I've got to drive myself harder. I've got to do the brave things because that's the only edge I have.
Yeah.
Like I don't have the mental edge, even though I think both of us are very intellectually very smart. We know that we can do that for a period of time and then our brains just tune out and it's the consistency actually that's the problem. It's not the intelligence.
Yes.
But the overcompensating, the feeling of like you have to continually be driving yourself comes from that place of, well, this is my only edge. I'm braver than other people and I do the hard thing. And if I keep doing that, then I will keep succeeding, but that's all I can do.
Yes. I like that you said, I'm braver than other people. I feel like I've always self-identified as being good at taking risks.
Well, me too,
in
actually.
In inverted commas.
Me too, absolutely. Like, and I know that that's one thing that has been reflected back to me my whole life is, wow, I can't believe you did that. I would never be brave enough to do that. Do you get that a lot
yes,
too?
Yes, and my response is always, it was not a choice.
Mm.
Like, it just had to be done.
Which, you know, we've talked about creative compulsions before. I would argue that's actually a superpower of having ADHD. It's that impulsivity that often, you know, so many entrepreneurs have ADHD because, well, not because, but they have ADHD and part of the reason they're able to do what they do is because they're not as risk averse as neurotypical people.
That's right, because they've learned how to ride the impulses.
But this piece here that we're looking at is kind of the underbelly, then perhaps not as discussed emotional underbelly of it, which is the way that we push ourselves in really unhealthy ways and yeah. feel like we have to do that in order to be able to be valid or able to achieve things. And if we can't achieve, it's like all we're staring at is our deficiency. I think, but really at the bottom of it, we really just wanted to record something about, you know, the economic downturn that I think all of us really knew would come after the whole COVID thing started to resolve. And I knew, I always predicted that it was going to be way harder this year than last year. But I still didn't quite, you know, I didn't quite acknowledge it when it started to happen. And we just wanted to have a conversation about that in case there's any other artists out there experiencing a downturn in sales.
I just want to say, actually, there are probably artists who are further ahead in the journey that haven't had an uptick in sales, never mind a downturn.
Totally. And maybe they're just like we're starting to get momentum and lost their momentum and they're thinking, you know, they don't haven't yet had the opportunity to bolster their confidence the way that we have with previous success. So don't give up. It is hard for everyone selling art right now. Mm. And for me, I'll also say, you know, I'm experiencing even a huge downturn in engagement on Instagram. Like, it's like people don't have the energy to chat like they used to or comment, or like people are just exhausted and they're not present with things that aren't essential right now. And it's so easy to take it personally.
Yeah. So what is that the key takeaway from this episode? That
keep it in mind that could be a part of if things aren't looking roses for you at the moment.
Yeah. And your value is not attached to that.
Yes. Your value is not attached to your sales. Easier said than done. Hey? Like easier, you know, we all know it intellectually. I'm sure there's not one listener out there who doesn't actually really know that and understand that their value is not equated to their sales, but it is so easy to start to get the blues about that when you're going through it.
And I want to reflect that actually in Australia we're a little bit protected culturally from that. I think there are, you know, for instance, in the US, I feel like there is a huge social driver around status and worth attached to earning.
It is different here. It's very different in Australia. We have a pretty good social welfare system here, so we're not as vulnerable to downturns, and so we perhaps don't feel the pressure as greatly.
But also socially, we don't value it quite as much. I'm not saying we don't value wealth, because we really do, but it's not as much of a wealth-driven social hierarchy.
Yes, really. It is different, and that's something, you know, worth noting. Mm-hmm. And it's also reflected in, you know, I think Aussies struggle more with selling, because culturally that's not very acceptable, whereas in the US it's totally acceptable. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it's hard trying to continually sell things when not many people are buying, or any people are buying. So, you know, if you're going through that, keep your chin up. It's not going to be forever. And know that we're going through it too. And, you know, and please, if you want to let us know how you're experiencing things, and if you're experiencing good things, because there's probably people out there that have had, you know, some positive experiences too. We'd love to hear from you. So drop us a line and we'll catch you next time. I hope you keep really well till then. Bye.
You can always see more of my art over at susannethercutt.com. And if you're interested in learning from me or checking out the podcast notes, you can find those over on susannethercuttstudio.com. I love hearing your comments and feedback, so feel free to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you like what you're hearing, then why not snap a screenshot and share it in your Instagram stories? Be sure to tag me at susan.nethercutt so I can say hi. And if you've got a great idea for a future podcast episode, or know someone who you think I should interview, then pop on over to susannethercuttstudio.com/podcast, hit the button in the header image to shoot me an email. Catch you next time.